Well, good morning. It's a great morning, isn't it? It's a great morning that we celebrate this special day, 500 years, 500 years from the foundation of so many things, not just our faith and the church, but everything society has been affected by that one act of faith and courage. Good morning. My name is Oscar Benavides. I am a guest pastor here. I come once in a while, and though the people try to stop me, I still come back. There were guards at the door looking out for me, so I slipped from the other side and they didn't see me. It's great. If you're a guest here this morning, we are so happy and blessed that you're here with us this morning. This is a great church. I don't come here. I'm not a member here. Though they want my tithe, I still come once in a while, but it's a great place. And Pastor Jim Mueller, our senior pastor, is not here today. He is in Germany, and he will be coming on the screen. He says he's in Germany. I think he's at Starbucks somewhere. He just didn't want to preach this morning. So we'll look at the background and kind of see if it seems like he's out there. Some of you might have heard that maybe through an e-letter or Facebook, I made a big transition. I came here 10 years ago for an interview with Pastor Walt Weiser to think about the executive director position at Link North Texas. And he was the chairman of that committee. And it was back in the youth house that I remember having the interview. And through that, I accepted the call, and I worked with Link for 10 years. And you have known me all these years since then. A few months ago, we started praying, and God started leading me somewhere else. And I received a call from the organization called 5-2. They asked me to come and be their vice president. And I agreed. I prayed and thought about it and felt like it was time. It was time. There's nothing wrong with Link or with me and Link. I love the organization and love what we've been able to do these last 10 years. And a lot of that came through your support. And I want to thank you for that. Some of you are saying, well, what is 5-2? 5-2, the words 5-2 refer back to the 5 loaves and 2 fish, about God always has provision for more and to start something new. And our main theme is starting something new for God. And so it's a national Lutheran organization, and we go to different areas and we work with the district presidents to try to bring new starts, new missions, new ways to reach people. So we in Michigan, we started a coffee shop for Christ. I personally coached a lady that wanted to start a home for girls that were trafficked in Detroit. And it's been just a great thing. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And I hope that we're able to continue the relationship. I'm not moving. I'm staying here. Though a lot of my work will be in Florida, I'm going to be here in town. And so between the service, if you want to talk more about that, we can do that. But I let's go ahead and try to see if Pastor Jim's here. Pastor, hello.
Hey, how's it going, Oscar?
It's going great. Are you just down the road here?
Yes, just down the road on the other side of the world. How are y'all?
They said great.
Hey, peace, wave at me. I can hear you really good and I can see you. Oh, so good. Who's got the bald head in the back? Sorry, ma'am, that was mean. I won't bring that up again. Just kidding.
So what have you seen? Where are you at exactly?
So we tried to get to Wittenberg today, and because of a big storm, they told us at the train station we were not able to get through, which was disappointing. I tend to believe that maybe they heard I was going to be here, and so there was no way they were going to make sure I didn't get there. However, we're going All Saints Day. We're going to actually be at the Luther Church for services and everything else. And so that'll be November 1st. So yeah, we just got done at an Italian restaurant right over here. There's April. We were inside. She was drinking too much limoncello, so I'm disappointed in her.
That's terrible. So, Pastor, is there something that God has been impressing upon you to share with us this morning?
Say it a little louder.
Oh, you can't hear the... has God been sharing something with you during this trip? Something you've seen there that you want to share with us, that would encourage us?
You know, the biggest thing is when the people here will tell me how low a priority this is for them. The anniversary of the Reformation is a high priority for the tourist shops and for a couple of the places, but it's a very low priority for the people. And when I hear that, it's just a reminder to us that we can't let our faith go. And we have to make sure that it's focused on the thing it's supposed to be focused on, which isn't necessarily the preservation of a cathedral, of which there are many here, but the preservation of the real thing, which is Jesus.
Great. Great. Any other questions? Anything else you want to share with us, Pastor?
No, that's it. I hope you all have a very good time. You all look so handsome. Here, actually, the left side that's looking at Oscar, would you turn around real quick and look at the computer?
Back there?
Yeah, the side that's on the computer, and just wave at me real quick. Hi. So good. All right, y'all. God bless you. I'm praying for you, and happy Reformation Day.
Same to you, Pastor. We love you, and we can't wait to see you and hear stories, and bring me a bottle of wine.
All right. God bless. Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh, they're clapping. So happy.
Leave it on. Let's hear what he says once this. Oh, it's so good to see him, isn't it? No? I didn't hear a lot of response, so wasn't sure. It is good to see him. What a wonderful opportunity to be there and just to see what he's seen. And it's interesting. There's this historical sense of, wow, I'm here. I'm in this place. And then you look at the lack of people really caring about the things that are really important. And that's not just true there in Germany. It's true here in America. This week, part of my job with 5-2, I was in New York, and I was touring the churches, working with the district president to bring new starts there in New York. And we went to all these historical churches, just like Pastor is, and we were some that were started in the 1800s. One of the founding churches of the Lutheran churches in America, I got to go visit and see. And you know, I would ask the pastor, so what's worship like here? Well, when I got here, there's only 12 people worshiping, and we're now up to 15, so we're really making some progress. And it was like, wow, wow. And it was huge, beautiful churches, stained glass, huge organs, empty. And you think about the fact that anybody, anywhere, that same thing could happen here. It could happen anywhere. And it's happened from Germany in the Northeast. And I've been to a lot of churches in Florida, and it's very similar, that the church is really not about a building, but the people that do gather do signify that sense of people not forgetting where we come from and who we are and what we're all about. So this morning, I don't want to discourage you with that. I want to encourage you in just a little bit, but first I want to pray. Can I pray? Father, we come to you this morning. Thank you so much for this amazing technology that we were just able to see our pastor and to hear from him and know, Lord, that you are encouraging him. I pray, Father, that you'll help us all to remember that it's all about Jesus. It's not about a religion. It's not about the thing that we do. It's about you. And Father, may you burn in our hearts every day as we remember what you've done for us, who you are, and what you call us to be and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I was preparing for the message, and Pastor Jim asked me several weeks ago to be here on this day, and so I've, of course, been more interested in the Reformation of saying, okay, let me make sure I understand what's going on, and how does that apply to us? We don't have the amount of time to go through a lot of the historical events. I'm just going to touch on a few and then make some observations for us for today. What can we take from that on this special day? I think about the solas, the Latin word for only, and those of you who speak Spanish, you know what sola means, right? It's the same word, only. Only grace, only faith, and only scripture. These were the words that Martin Luther stood for so strongly, and the things that he wanted to reform and move the church back to these scriptural beliefs, these true beliefs of Christianity. But according to Romans here, that we just read, it says that we maintain that a person is justified by faith alone, away, apart, not including any work that you do by law or by obligation or by any other rule. In other words, the theme of the Reformation and the theme of the scripture and this thought is so strong all over the Bible, and I'll share with that in a second. It's that we are made right with God, not by anything that you and I can do. We cannot in any way please God because of our state as sinners. And the reason Jesus died on the cross, and this is a very basic thing that many of you have heard over and over again, but it is what makes us Christians, is that because of the cross, we are declared righteous. We're declared righteous. In other words, the judge has said, it's done. These people have believed, trusted in Christ, and therefore, in God's eyes, we are declared righteous. And the difficulty for us is like, but I'm not. I look what I did yesterday. Look what I did this morning on the way to church. We fought all the way to church. We barely walked in here. How is it that we are declared righteous? By faith. It's an act of faith only, not anything you do, not by walking in those doors, not by any action on our own. And it's not because God saw us and said, well, they're special people. Look how great they are. No, it's just by grace. By grace means that there was nothing on our own that he saw of just compassion. God had compassion on us, and by his grace, he gives us this gift of faith. Amen? So for me, I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and in the Hispanic Roman Catholic Church, our practice in our family was to go once in a while just to keep grandma happy. Some of you have the same thing. Yes, Mom, we went to church. Okay, don't call her next week. And the truth is that I did do my first communion like most do, but it was all about what you're supposed to do. Now, my mom really tried hard to please God in some ways, but she had such a separate alien relationship with God, too. There was so much guilt in us. We grew up with a sense of pray really hard and maybe God will have grace on us and give us more of a job for my dad. And really God was in a sense like a Santa Claus, but also fearful of him, that judgment would come because of our sins. And yet there was very little understanding of scripture. If you would say to anybody in my family, where is John 3:16? We would say, who's John? My mom might have known that, but as kids, we didn't know that. We didn't have a Bible in our home. We had a few crucifixes, but we also had taken on this weird, Mexican traditions of religion that weren't Christian, like we had garlic on our doorstep to scare away spirits. We had, and some of you that are Hispanic or you know some, you know that many of us grew up with this sense of spirits out there and we were fearful. And so always in fear of this thing. So we had a glass of water with an egg inside under the bed. And my dad just believed in all this weird superstitious stuff. And such a mixture and so lost. So when I went up to high school and I was a saxophone player and quite bad at it. I'm not kidding. I was really bad and I didn't care. Sophomore older girl comes to me and says, I want to talk to you. Can we go talk privately? Being as good looking as I was. I was like 5'11", weight like 10 pounds. And I was like, of course. And we sat down after band practice and she shared with me this little, they call them gospel tracks. And I don't know, y'all remember those. We don't use those anymore. But it was a little test. She says, check off the things that'll take you to heaven. So I checked off more than half of those. Good deeds, keep the Ten Commandments, go to church, just on and on. I checked several of those. And then she said, okay, you failed the test. I never thought about heaven. And I'm like, whatever you say, you're pretty. I'm just going to nod. You're right. And she explained to me how Ephesians talks about that salvation is not something that comes by your actions. It's a gift of God, not by your own works. I'm like, what are works? I don't do works. What are works? I don't know what that word means. And so slowly she started explaining that to me, and then I started going to her youth group because they play volleyball, and I was really interested in the girls. Theme in my life in the middle school was the same way in high school. It's about girls. And then something happened. Real similar to what Luther went through in several points in his life where, wow, the Spirit of God aligns your mind to the truth of the gospel, of the Word of God. And I remember for the first time praying and saying, not in a way of guilt and a far God, but in a presence of Christ all around me, saying, God, I believe, Jesus, I believe in you, that you are died on the cross for my sins. And I saw it in Scripture, and it came real to me. It was not a pastor. It was not a priest. It was not a religious leader. It was just a girl that was in band who cared about my soul. That's reformation for me. That was the beginning. Little did I know that every time we would rehearse before we started playing band, we rehearsed this song that our band director had, something about a God in fortress or something. He was a Lutheran. And every single day we would play this song we just sang. I had no clue what it meant. I had no clue what it was. I didn't know any. I just knew that he liked this song. And later I found out, of course, he was a Lutheran. And a pretty good one. I really liked him. Those are the kind of moments that many of us here have had. Now, some of you have grew up in the church, so maybe you didn't have that moment. But I don't know about you, but I remember that alien relationship I had with God. What I mean by that is we don't have it. He's out there. He's separate. I'm separate from him. And that is what these verses are all about and what he's trying to explain. That the separation comes from sin, and the salvation and relationship, it's not just about going to heaven. It's about relating to God today, tomorrow. And one of the things that Luther was so shocked by when he started reading the scripture is that he had a wrong understanding of God. Though he was a seminary professor, he spent a lot of time in the monastery. He was always in prayer. He was wrong. And he went to Rome. He went to Rome to try to go to that holy city to find out truth. And he was disgusted by what he saw, because the church had become so corrupt through century after century after century that they had gone away further and further and further from Scripture. Why? Well, because the Scriptures were in Latin. And the people in Germany, for sure, could not read Latin. Many were not even able to read German. And so then you have the Scriptures there or in all the other countries, in English, and all, you know, everybody had to depend on the priest. But the priest, like him, like Luther was, they were taught these beliefs that in order for you to go to heaven and have a relationship with God, you had to do all these things. And why did that happen? Power. Going back to history, past, you know, when Constantine in the 300s became a Christian, the emperor became a Christian, the church was now open to being not have to hide, and there were not the martyrdom and persecution of the church that there was for hundreds of years. And so now the church and the government, there was an acceptance of Christianity, and we think that was a great moment in history. But centuries later, the power of the Pope grew to such an extent that they became corrupt. Because power does corrupt, doesn't it? And there was so much power in one man and his office that there was a time that two guys were fighting for who was going to be the Pope, and they actually got in a fist fight. Could you imagine you and Pastor Jim getting in a fist fight? No. No, yeah, that's unthinkable. That's unthinkable. And what we see throughout history is the sense that when we get away from this, the Word of God, when we get away from the basic truths of the gospel, we are capable, even religious leaders are capable of doing the most horrible things. Right? We are. All of us are sinners. We all fall into the same thing. And the more power we have, the more dangerous it gets. And that's why for every Christian, the Bible says, be like Christ, be humble, humble yourself, be a servant to others. That's what Christians do. Right? No? So Luther had to stand, and for him, it was a world change internally, and he couldn't help but speak the words out loud. Because he saw the normal person enslaved to this belief that you have to do all these things to please God, when the Bible clearly says you can't. That Jesus was enough, and every time you try to please God on your own outside of the gospel, outside the cross, you're really saying you're not enough, Jesus. It's an affront to God every time we try to work for God on our own flesh. We can't. And anything good that you and I do has to come through him. So it is terrifying to be here in front of you unless I have got on my knees and I prayed and I begged God, not just for forgiveness, but for his Spirit, for him to speak. Because it's a high responsibility for all of us. And it is for me. I can't, and you can't, do anything good for God. But as history has taught us, anyone, and it happens here, we all can get away from God through works, through believing that it's me, that somehow I can do it. And the pride that comes inside of us that says to God, I got it. I'll do this part. I'll go to church. I'll tithe. I'll start serving in a separate sense with God. It's impossible. So what happened to him is he had to speak. He had to speak out because of his compassion and his love for people. And the words that, some of the words that most of you have heard before, he said these words. This is Martin Luther said, this one infirm rock, which we call the doctrine of justification, is the chief article of the whole Christian doctrine, which comprehends the understanding of all godliness. Unless I am convinced by the testimony of the scriptures, and or by clear reason, for I do not trust either in the Pope or the councils alone, since it is well known that they have often erred and have contradicted themselves. I am bound by the scriptures I have quoted, and my conscience is captive to the word of God. I cannot and will not recant anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against my own conscience. May God help me. And from that point on, that song, the words from that song are very real. We have devils everywhere in danger at every side, and he was persecuted, he was searched, and he was in hiding for many, many years. And he always had enemies. And it's amazing to me that in other countries, the people who came up to try to reform the church, they were burned at the stake. And the same would have happened to Martin Luther, but God's grace allowed him to live so that he could write the rest of the things and the songs that we sing. Luther had to humble himself. How could it be that being a seminary professor, you don't know these basic things of the scriptures? Well, it's a warning to us to be careful. To be careful. The church should not be so tied into the government and the power that comes in government. The government's very corrupt, isn't it? Not just this one. Each century through the millennials, it is that. You think about the things that happened to the church when it got more and more power. That's not what we seek. The power is not from the government here. It's not from anything here on earth. In fact, Jesus said, my kingdom is different. The kingdom that he wants us to operate in and receive power is from the Holy Spirit. It's from humility and from service. It's from love. It comes from character of being followers of Jesus. not the power that comes from an institution. Institutional power does corrupt. And we see it in our own denomination. We see the division and the stuff that you wonder, are we really Christians by acting certain ways? Jesus, this is the one we follow. Luther didn't want his followers to be called Lutherans. He wanted them to be called Christians. Because he did not want the attention on him, because he had done the same thing before. He had put attention on a man, a sinner. And so it's for here at Peace. I know Pastor Jim, he's not about him. It's not about us. We err. We make mistakes. And that's why you have a Bible. And that's why you should check us. And you have the total authority and ability to come to us and say, but I look at this here. And you said this, and the scripture says this. Now, we won't buy you lunch after that, but still. you have the right to do that and to look at scriptures and the power that scriptures have in your own life. Look, like this. Romans 5 says, therefore, we have been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Habakkuk says, behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by faith. Romans 1:17, for in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, but the righteous shall live by faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, to those who are without the law, they're lawless, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. In other words, you might be a rebel. You might not care about the law. But Christ is the one that justifies you, not being good. Even back in Genesis, he said, then he believed in the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Romans 4:5, but to the one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. Can I just keep going and going and going? Verse after verse after verse says the same thing. We are right with God, not because of what we do, but because of who he is and what he did for us. I know some of you are saying, I heard that over and over again. We need to hear it again. Because inside of us, and why the corruption has happened of the church and why the corruption of individuals has occurred, is because inside of us we still have sin that constantly fights this truth. And that's why some of you come in here with immense amount of guilt. And you feel like the act itself of coming to church is what you need to do. We don't come to church for forgiveness. We are declared righteous before we ever walk into this door. Okay? We come to experience forgiveness through communion and the sacraments, but you already are forgiven. You have been declared forgiven, and you're right with God already. And so stop. Some of you have been carrying around unforgiveness and guilt for months. Some of your division within your own families has not been reconciled yet. And some of you have this burden that you're always walking around with. That's the danger. That need of reconciliation with others is a danger that draws us to a place to come and do stuff for God so that maybe I will be released of this guilt. I've told you this before, I'll tell it again. The answer to your guilt is not action, it's repentance. It's repentance. It's coming before God and really being clean. I'm wrong about this. And going to your brother, your sister, somebody else, and confessing your sins. And through that, being able to be reconciled. Or some of you are still carrying around the sin guilt of what you did last week, last month, 10 years ago, 30 years ago. I know, in any size group, every one of us would be ashamed if people around us could see what we have done, what we have thought. I would be very ashamed. But those things have been forgiven. And my hope for you, in the spirit of the Reformation, is that you would walk out of here not just knowing intellectually that you're forgiven, because many of you do, but that at your heart level, you would be free. That you would be free. I went to Philadelphia a couple of months ago, and I went to see the Liberty Bell, and it was great. And as we were walking through, I noticed that a lot of that, the symbols of the civil rights movement had to be with that bell and that Let Freedom Ring that Martin Luther King was able to talk about. And of course, he was, his name, he was, you know, for him, Martin Luther was a big hero, and especially his father named him after him. Oh, by the way, I was in church one time, and we had a worship leader, a piano player, and he got a microphone, and he said something, this song that was written by Martin Luther King, and I was like, oh, he's not a Lutheran. You got to talk to him afterwards. But that concept of freedom that Martin Luther King and Martin Luther and the scriptures talk about, it's why he set us free. This is why he died. He died so that you can walk around with a confidence in God. Because every time you walk around with guilt, an obligation, that relationship separates. When you believe what God has said, that you are truly free, you walk with joy, and that's that joy that you have in Christ is what attracts other people to him. It's not the obligation. It's not the activities. It's the freedom from the inside that allows you to love other people. Does that make sense? May the Lord give you that strength to believe what is true, that you are forgiven, that you are his son and his daughter, that when he pulls out his wallet, your picture is on there. That's the kind of, well, I guess God has a cell phone now. Have you done that before, grandparents? You know how to work the pictures on your phone, grandparents? Yeah. My mom doesn't, so she takes printed pictures to the gym or wherever she goes, and she's like, these are my grandkids. Wow, they look so much like their mother. My kids are Anglo-adopted, so... And so is my wife, is Anglo, not adopted, but she's Anglo. And so they don't look like dad. I'm like, thanks a lot. But that pride that my mom has over her grandkids and that I have, or my kids, it comes from him. That's not a human thing, that's a God thing. And God has that for you. So on his phone, he's sliding your picture and saying, angels, look at my son John. Look at my daughter Janet. Look at them. Aren't they wonderful? That's how God feels about you. May you leave here today with that sense that God has set you free and you are loved. Father, thank you for the Reformation. Thank you, Father, for the courage, the strength, the conviction, and the love that Martin Luther had. And we honor him today, Father, because you used him to change the world for the last 500 years. We're amazed at that work, Father, but we are even more amazed by the work Jesus did on the cross, knowing that because of us, because of his love for us, he sacrificed his life. Father, may we believe strongly and hold it tight the truth that we are justified by faith alone in Christ alone and by grace alone. May that be our daily walk when we go to school or to work or everywhere we go, knowing that we are made right with you by faith. Thank you for that gift. And Father, may this congregation always believe, always know, and always experience that love. Help us, Father, to spread that love to other people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.